Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please take the roll?
26 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Nobody is excused from the call of the House today.
Our chaplain today is Pastor John Page of the Douglas Methodist Church. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Let us pray. Lord, you will still be here after this prayer is said, and we would have it to be so, for we know how deep in our hearts that we know we cannot work without your help, and nothing that we do will be abiding. Be with your servants in the House this day, in all things both great and small, so that small things become great and great things become possible. God of mercies, bless our loved ones and our families. Make our homes sanctuaries of love and peace, where we may find spiritual resources for the strain and pressures of our duties here. Now, O Lord, may we put our hearts into our work, that our work may get into our hearts. Amen.
Representative Cotton, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Menard?
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask for unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Are there any objections as having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. At this time, would the House please stand at ease for a special presentation, kind of the tail end of the St. Patrick's Day parade?
First of all, let me thank you for recognizing the holiday yesterday and not meeting. I thought that was very significant. I think you would appreciate the St. Patrick's Day. And this is a gift from a former member of this body, William Moran of Anchorage, and he's the president of the Irish American Gladas Society of Alaska. And he has made a very, very fine gift. I'm going to ask the former Speaker of the House if you would permit to bring this forward to you and have you open it up, and Commissioner Malone, I think, has a word or two that he'd like to say at the time of the presentation. You? The letter's a little lengthy, but that's the Irish in it, and you might just want to read the first or last paragraph.
And skip the Blarney in the middle. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I forgot to mention that two of the three of us did get the Blarney Stone, but the one that made this presentation had not, so the other two were the ones that selected the
Speaker, on behalf of the Irish American Gladas Society, I'd like to present you with that shillelagh there, and as a symbol of the celebration of St. Patrick's Day and the fusing of cultures that has produced this country. Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to say that it's kind of nice to stand here in front of the House of Representatives again. We think of St. Patrick's Day as being a celebration of one particular culture and heritage that is part of this country. For a lot of us, St. Patrick's Day is also a celebration of something else, and that's the dedication to freedom that's represented by this country, and I think at least in my opinion, the Alaska House of Representatives. I remember a number of years ago, when this House did adopt a resolution honoring a person who died for his belief in freedom, Bobby Sands. And while that resolution didn't pass the legislature, I think it's symbolic of the struggle and dedication to freedom that Americans have. And so I'm glad that Americans on the 17th of March remember the Irish, who also have that dedication. And I'm proud to share the joint culture. And I hope that the House appreciates this symbol from Mr. Moran, puts it to good use. I might point out that, while this is a walking stick, it It also has other applications. I'm sure you'll
be good for the radio projections.
Speaker.
Well, this indeed is a very impressive weapon. And it's very nicely inscribed here. And I'm sure if the House is not happy with the Department of Revenue, we may give it back to you. But thank you very much. There is a very lengthy letter here, and indeed there is a lot of baloney in it. And I believe that it is well constructed. In the very end, I always go to, therefore let it be resolved. The very end, it says, "We invoke God's blessing on your deliberation during these trying times of hard decisions, and we ask the good saint to watch over you. Maybe may he watch over all of us." Thank you very much. Now that's impressive. Should have a longer handle. So serious.
Mr. Majority Leader?
I move and ask unanimous consent that we go back up to the roll call. I would ask unanimous first of all, may I have unanimous consent to go back up to the roll call?
Are there any objections?
I'd ask unanimous consent that Representative Schultz be excused from the call of the House. He's ill today.
Well, should anybody call the House? Are there any objections to Representative Schultz being excused from the call of the House? He is evidently ill today. At this time, would the clerk please certify the journal for the 57th and the 58th legislative day?
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 57th and 58th days. There is a correction to the journal for the 54th day, and that the committee substitute for House Bill 143, Labor and Commerce, has a new title, and that title will be spread in today's journal. With this correction, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 54th day, the 57th, and the 58th days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journals for the 57th and 58th days be adopted as certified, and that the House retroactively correct the House journal for the 54th day as certified by the clerk.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journals, including the amendment to the 54th legislative day? Hearing no objections, the journals stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, Representative Phillips and I have a guest with the close-up program. Please help me welcome a young man who I believe has aspirations to perhaps join this body someday, Byron Cromwell.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have close-up students in Gallery B. I've got 11 students and one teacher. Starting with, if you'd please stand, I'd have Edith Avagana from Nooksuk, Agnes Kasach from Nooksuk, Robert Tuckfield from Point Lay, Michael Neacock from Point Lay, Helen Nagarak from Point Hope, James Omnick Jr. from Point Hope, Ashley Octolic from Point Hope, Brian Tunick from Atkusuk, Arthur Bordeaux from Atkusuk, Christina Ochluk from Wainwright, and the teacher Carl Billingham from Point Hope, if you'll help me.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Swackhammer and I have a guest in Gallery A, Mitch Flagg from Soldotna and Ilchik.
Any further guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor.
Dear Representative Grusendorf, I have signed the following resolution and am transmitting the engrossment and roll copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Joint Resolution Number 21, disapproving the Local Boundary Commission recommendation for annexation of territory to the city of Dillingham. Legislative resolve number 6. Signed sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citation and it is transmitted for consideration. In memoriam, Clinton D. Andrews. And we've also, they've approved the following citations and they have been sent to enrolling. Honoring the Glacier Creek Academy. Honoring the Alaska Pacific University Pioneers Wrestling Team. Honoring the Diamond High School Boys Nordic Ski Team. And honoring the Diamond High School Boys Basketball Team.
That citation for our consideration will be referred to the Rules Committee for calendaring.
The Senate has passed the following and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, Resources amended by the Resources Committee. An act adopting a mineral policy for the state and providing for an effective date.
One standing committee, Resources.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
We received from the Department of Health and Social Services the Medicaid Rate Commission annual report as required. And we've also received from the Department of Revenue Treasury Division an update on the classified loans, Class D loans. I have no further communications, and those that I read will be on file in the Speaker's office.
Okay, this brings us down the daily order of business to reports of standing committees.
The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 44 relating to motor vehicle liability insurance and the insurance requirements for obtaining and maintaining motor vehicle registration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 44, Labor and Commerce, with a new title, and recommends it do pass, and also recommends an additional referral to the Finance Committee. The report does have a fiscal note, and it was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, signing do pass, Donnelly, Davidson, Ellis, Boucher, and Kopanen, having no recommendation, Menard, and Furness.
At this time, since House Bill 44 has picked up a fiscal note, it'll be referred to the Finance Committee.
The report now has to Judiciary and Finance and will go to Judiciary. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 106 relating to the payment of criminal fines and restitutions and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 106 Finance with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, concurring Adams, Porchot, Gall, Boyer, Rieger, Frank, Brown, Davis, and Larson. Wallace has no recommendation. House Bill 106 has no further referral. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 126 relating to the Public School Foundation Program, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 126 Hess with the same title, recommends it do pass, and will send a Hess letter of intent later. The report was signed by the co-chairs Kopanen and Ellis. Concurring Kopanen, Ellis, Hanley, Phillips, Grunberg, Donnelly, and Hudson. House Bill 126 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 144 relating to charges for services provided by the State Library and State Museum, recommends it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairs, Kopanen and Ellis. Concurring, Kopanen, Ellis, Hanley, Phillips, Hudson, Grunberg, and Donnelly. House Bill 144 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 148 relating to family education loans, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by the co-chairs, Kopanen and Ellis. Signing do pass, Hanley, Hudson, Kopanen, and Ellis. Signing no recommendation, Phillips, Grunberg, and Donnelly. House Bill 148 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 168 relating to protection for public employees and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman. Signing do pass, Ellis, Davidson, Menard, Boucher, Kopanen, and Donnelly. Furness has no recommendation. House Bill 168 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 175, extending the termination date of the State Medical Board, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note with analysis. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, concurring Kopanen, Ellis, Davidson, Menard, Furness, Boucher, and Donnelly. House Bill 175 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 179, extending the termination date of the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero note with analysis. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman. Signing do pass, Boucher, Ellis, Davidson, Menard, Furness, Donnelly, and Kopanen. House Bill 179 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee has considered Senate Bill 122, relating to the term of office of the student member of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska, recommends it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairs, Kopanen and Ellis. Concurring, Kopanen, Ellis, Grunberg, Hudson, Phillips, Hanley, and Donnelly. Senate Bill 122 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring James Simpson McKinnon by Representatives Sund, Ulmer, Hudson, Cotton, Taylor, and Senators Jones, Duncan, Gurtula, and Eliason.
Rules for calendaring.
House Resolution Number 5 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee relating to the effect of budget reductions on local governments.
CRA and also the Finance Committee.
House Joint Resolution Number 22 by Boyer relating to an agreement between the Department of Defense and the Alaska Department of Labor for enforcement of the Alaska Hire Requirements of Section 8078 of the 1986 Defense Appropriations Act and subsequent acts, and urging the Congress to extend the resident hire provision through fiscal year 1988.
One standing committee, Labor and Commerce.
House Joint Resolution 23 by Sund, relating to tributylton.
That'll be referred to the Resources Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 75 with the Governor's transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making appropriations for the operating loan program and capital expenses of state government and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 184 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to individual tax credits.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 185 with the Governor's letter and a zero fiscal note with analysis by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act repealing certain state loan programs and making miscellaneous changes to the other state loan programs and providing for an effective date.
One standing committee, Finance.
House Bill 186 with the Governor's letter and 2 zero fiscal notes by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, changing a court rule and providing for an effective date.
Three standing committees, Resources, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 187 with the Governor's letter and a fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to geographic pay differentials and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 188 with a Governor's letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the teacher's retirement system and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 189 with a Governor's letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to divorce and dissolution.
Hess, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 190.
Excuse me 1 minute. That'll be just Hess and Judiciary.
House Bill 190 with a Governor's letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to mortgage loans purchased by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, relating to bonds issued by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 191 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act making an appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Public Health, for the Alaska AIDS Program and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
House Bill 192 with a Governor's letter and a fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act postponing the effective date of the State Procurement Code and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 193 by Miller, an act relating to the sale of inherited remote parcels.
Resources and the Judiciary Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, this brings Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we move back up the calendar to introduction of guests, please.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce some close-up students that are here today from Galena and Rampart. From Galena, we have a teacher, Sarah Moore, and we have Eric Fox from Galena and Ginny Lowe from Galena. We also have here from Rampart, Judy Evans. Would you please help me welcome her?
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Kopanen.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I have a constituent, Kristen Novacek, in Gallery A.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us back down the calendar to the calendar itself. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill Number 54 by Kopanen, an act creating the Alaska Seismic Hazard Center. The Hess Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 54 Hess with a new title, recommends it do pass, attaches a letter of intent and two fiscal notes. The report was signed by the co-chairs, Kopanen and Ellis. Concurring, Grunberg, Kopanen, Ellis, Hanley, and Hudson. Having no recommendation, Phillips and Donnelly. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends the committee substitute Hess and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman. Concurring, Adams, Porchot, Boyer, Gall, Larson, Swackhammer, Rieger, Brown, and Davis. Wallace has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having one committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the Hess Committee substitute for House Bill number 54.
Are there any objections as the adoption of the C.S. Hess? Hearing no objection, the C.S. from Hess has been adopted. Do we have any further amendments before us?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, let's move it to third reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee substitute for House Bill number 54 be engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement motion from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee Substitute for House Bill 54 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act creating an Alaska Earthquake and Volcano Hazards Assessment Project.
Third reading and under debate. Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Alaska is a very seismically active area. And as you know, and many of you from Anchorage remember Mount Augustine's explosion last year and the interest that there was in the part of the public, the dangers that it presented. You also saw many of the newspaper stories, but unless you read one particular article from the Anchorage Daily News, you thought that it was probably all done by the United States Geological Survey. Actually, all of the data, almost all of the basic work, was done by the Seismic Center in our own State Department of Natural Resources. However, the necessity of budget cuts in the Department of Natural Resources and in other areas of the state make it imperative that we find a safe harbor for seismology and for other geologic hazards in the state. Much of the work is done at the University of Alaska. Much of the instrumentation, basic instrumentation, is located there. Last summer, the Department of Natural Resources met with the University of Alaska Geophysical Institute that has been engaged in the work before and negotiated transfer of the seismic and geologic hazard work to the University of Alaska Center there and transferred the state seismologist over to the University of Alaska. They agreed to RSA various funds over because it would be less expensive and more expeditious to have the work done at the University of Alaska. However, for that to continue needs a change in statute creating that authority at the University of Alaska rather than maintaining it in the Department of Natural Resources. And the reorganization of the Department of Natural Resources has continued to the point that it is apparently impossible to transfer it back without reconstruction the entire Division of Geological and Geophysical Survey. Also, the university is in a better position to apply for the federal monies from the Federal Earthquake Hazard Reduction Act of 1977, Public Law 85-124. Hopefully that money will match state monies that are being RSA'd over. I think that it is essential that this function continue. It is also a case in point that we've been talking about cooperation between the university and the state on a research project. It's interesting that this has not only had an impact on location of seismic hazards, on monitoring of things like earthquakes and volcanoes, but also has had a particular economic impact. The world outside has people who do work in this area. However, they are not intimately acquainted with Alaska. And when the insurance companies approach them and ask them what seismic zone Alaska is in, tend to lump it in with California as prone to drift off into the Pacific following some shock. Conoco was building a headquarters building on the North Slope. They were being required by their insurance people to build it to the seismic hazard that would be appropriate to Anchorage or San Francisco. However, the North Slope is not such a seismically hazardous zone. They consulted with the state seismologist and received a letter pointing the situation out with the proper professional amateur on it and saved about $1 million in construction costs. Similarly, construction costs have been saved by notifying industrial concerns on the possible dangers of some of the areas where they have proposed to build and proposing alternative sites in the same general vicinity. So it is not just the public safety or the scientific interest, it's actually very much the economic interest of the state that this particular service continue, and it has to continue through cooperation between the university system and the state, and therefore this change in our existing statute is necessary. Thank you.
Any further debate? Representative Taylor.
Yes, I just had a question for the sponsor, and that was on page 2, lines 29, and I'm back over on page 3, the rest of that paragraph down through line 3. I believe that's some existing language, but if you could explain to me what the relevance is of having all well drillers of water wells reporting to this individual, and how does it work? Are forms being provided, and does this work well?
Mr. Kopanen, Representative Kopanen.
This is an authority that is not generally used. Actually, the information goes to DEC on licensing, and it's only the ones, and they then have access to that information because of the statute. It doesn't mean that water well drillers have to report directly to the seismologist. Actually, even currently, it comes, if I remember correctly, comes through DEC. They have, and it gives them access to this particular kind of information. I can only remember one instance where it was used.
Any further debate? Representative Cotton.
Yeah, at ease, please.
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Is there any further debate? Representative Kopanen.
Just an explanation of the... this is not changing any existing language. That is due to the way that we present the bill. The amendment is actually in number 6, taking the word record archive out. But currently, the Division of Geological and Geophysical Survey does require of well contractors keeping of logs. This says the filing of logs. However, it only occurs when the division asks for the logs, which, as I mentioned earlier, I can remember only one time that they did and did that in our vicinity. They may have done it in other. I know we do have a member who was a well drilling contractor who may speak if he cares to on this.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 54, Hess, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
39 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 54, Hess, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, we have a letter of intent to accompany this bill. It's a Hess committee letter of intent. I believe the members should have it with their bill histories. It's at the bottom of the first page. It appears in the House Journal for February 23 at page 296. And I believe this is the first letter of intent we have considered this year. And by to refresh your recollections, a letter of intent, I will move and ask unanimous consent that the body adopt it. Any objection, of course, and we vote on it, but it is taken up separately. So at this time, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the Hess letter of intent for CSHB 54 Hess.
Are there any objections? Any objections? Hearing no objections, the letter of intent has been adopted. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we move up to introductions of guests, please?
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Yes, I have a couple of close-up students that were not introduced. I have one from Anaktuvik Pass, a Teresa Jolma. Would you stand up, please? And also I have Nathan Howard from Eagle, who's also a close-up student. Would you please welcome him? Mr. Speaker, also in Gallery A, I have two people from Cameco. I'd like to introduce Ralph Hargraves and Hank Gigri with me today. They will be making a presentation on Red Dog at 1:30 in Senate Finance, so everybody's welcome. Thank you.
Under introduction of guests, Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have a constituent I'd like to introduce in Gallery A, an old friend, Dean Goddard.
Any further guests for introduction? Okay, this moves us back down. Representative Navar.
Speaker, could we have brief at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Order. Before the at ease, we're still in the daily calendar. We have some citations for approval. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have several citations on the calendar today. There are three. The first honors the Homer Mariner Boys Basketball Team, Region 3 Basketball Tournament Champions. Second honors Lathrop High School Malamutes Hockey Team 1987 Alaska State Champions. Third honors William McMullen, Fairbanks Area Professional Engineer of the Year. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt all three or approve all three citations on the calendar.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Hearing no objections, those citations have been approved. This brings us down to unfinished business. Any unfinished business that come before this body? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I bring up reconsideration of House Bill 23.
Will the clerk at this time please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 23, Telecommunications, by the House Special Committee on Telecommunications. An act relating to reduced rates and discounted service for low-income telecommunications customers.
Third reading. And under debate, Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I voted against this yesterday, I think primarily because I didn't understand the bill. I believe I have a better understanding of it now and intend to vote in favor of the legislation. I was confused about what might qualify a person to be considered a low-income customer, and it still isn't totally clear, but I understand that it would be on a basis of income individually rather than location. So I feel like I can support the bill today.
Any further debate?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 23, Telecommunications, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
36 yeas, 3 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 23, Telecommunications, has passed the House on reconsideration. Any further unfinished business? Representative Sun.
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask to bring up as a special order of business this time a citation honoring James Simpson McKinnon and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to the special order of business? Any objection to the motion to approve the citation? Hearing no objection, the citation has been approved. Unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have several requests for excused absence, and I would move and ask unanimous consent that the House approve the following requests. First, Representative Schultz from Monday, April 6 at 7 a.m. to Monday, April 13 at Plain Time. Second, Representative Wallace, from after session Wednesday, March 18, to plain time Monday, March 23. Third, Representative Brown, from after session Thursday, April 16, to plain time Tuesday, April 21. Fourth, Representative Hoffman, from 7 a.m. Thursday, March 19, that is tomorrow, to plain time Monday, March 23.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, those members named by the majority leader are excused from the call of the House. Any further unfinished business to come before this body? Announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Resources Subcommittee on House Bill 93 will have a work session this evening at 5 o'clock in House Resources.
Mm-hmm. Further committee announcements. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Finance Subcommittee on the Department of Commerce's budget, we had scheduled a meeting for Thursday. Due to a conflict, we've rescheduled that for Friday afternoon, March 20th at 3 o'clock in the Labor and Commerce Room.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Learning about other cultures and nations is very important. And tomorrow, Capital School students invite each of us over to their Japanese festival for learning origami, singing, and they're going to be performing plays, and we can also have lunch there. So tomorrow at 12 o'clock to 2:30, please join the teachers and the students at Capital School. Thank you.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The potatoes on your desk are from the Matanuska farmers, and Senator Cotula arranged it through his office.
Representative Ulmer.
Regarding those potatoes, in case you don't want your potatoes, there's a very important use for them. If you would like to give them to either Representative Hudson or myself, we will take them to the Glory Hole. The Glory Hole is a private nonprofit organization in Juneau which provides food to those who need it most. It's on South Franklin, and it benefits greatly from contributions like this. So please give them either to Bill or myself. Thank you.
Representative Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And while we are talking about the farmers, this is to remind the body to think about the loans that are coming up and further reconsideration, and also the bill of tractors and farm equipment running on the highways. Thank you.
Representative Davidson, or Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You can take it from a veteran. If you leave them under your desk until May, they make great seed potatoes. I also have just a general announcement, if I could, Mr. Speaker. On 12 noon today, the people of Fairbanks, representatives, senators, staffers, are having a potluck. We've invited all the various people that are down from Fairbanks that are now working for the administration. And if you'd like to see how many of us are down here, come by and join us at 12 noon at Butchovich Room.
I don't think there'd be room. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to make a couple of points. First of all, these are resident potatoes, so that we should consider their use in that light. And I'd also like to state that I would wish that not only potatoes reach Southeastern in Juneau, but also some of our mat-made milk and so forth get on the shelves of Foodland and on the shelves of Super Bear and on the shelves of the other stores around the state of Alaska so that we truly can practice what we preach. Thank you.
Any further unfinished business? Mr. Minority Leader?
I believe we're under announcements.
That is correct.
The Minority Caucus will meet at 11 o'clock tomorrow in the court building.
Any further announcements? Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Anchorage Caucus will meet tomorrow at noon in the Governor's Conference Room. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, can we have a brief at ease, please?
Would the House please stand at ease?
Music and dancing from 7 o'clock on. The price is $10. You can purchase tickets from many members of... I have tickets, and many members in the court building have tickets, or you can buy a ticket at the door. It's $10. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, as a result of Representative Rieger's announcement, I understand there's going to be legislation introduced to require a men's division and a women's division next year. Y'all get it right.
I'm glad we're getting this all out here, not under special orders. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Speaker. Just like to announce a meeting of the Rail Belt Democratic Caucus Friday noon in Labor and Commerce.
Representative Davis?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I was just, point of clarification, wondering, there was a 60 down and 60 to go, and I was wondering what Representative Hanley was referring to.
Well, I guess I'll let that one pass. I won't. Any further announcements? Okay, this brings us down to special orders. Any special orders to come before this body? Representative Boucher.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request the permission of the chair to address the body on public communications.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have placed on your desk, and I'd like to emphasize preliminary findings and recommendations of the House Special Committee on Telecommunications. And I might indicate we have been working very closely with my distinguished colleague from Fairbanks, who chairs the Department of Administration and is responsible ultimately for the House budget on public broadcasting in the state. We recognize that we don't have all of the answers, but we are attempting to bring to the table some solutions. I want to add right here, I am not lobbying for it. What I am simply trying to do is maybe raise the level of awareness of what I'd like to call AlaskaNet, or our communication highways, or our communication systems. I think we need to look beyond the message, because as Marshall Clune said, the media is the message. In 1975, the state wisely embarked on building a communication highway infrastructure that has become the envy of many nations and indeed rural states. In fact, in the packet that I included to you, as we talk about dismantling our system, it's ironic that on January 15th to 16th, the Northern Television Symposium was held at Yellowknife Northwest Territory, where they quoted, the first day of the symposium was largely devoted to information sharing about satellite technology and current distribution arrangements for the North, federal programs, and the Alaska television experience. So once again, the money that we've invested in our communication highways has received recognition in other areas. I think one of the things that the report points out is that the broadcasting system as such, or AlaskaNet as I would prefer to call it, is a mix of many things, and it's complex in nature. It's more than just sending television signals to rural Alaska, because over these same television signals, in between the pictures, at the same time, the University of Alaska Fairbanks Library is downloading computer information. Once again, I guess really what we're talking about is our highway communication system. We are...
...to speak on a word of caution.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last night, while working in my office, I received a call from the Capitol Security advising me that a young man was observed burglarizing my car. Mr. Speaker, the word of caution is that we must be mindful to lock the vehicles in the Capitol parking garage for two reasons. One is to protect the valuables that may be left in the vehicle, and second, to prevent an opportunity for a young person to seize the opportunity of breaking the law. This is indeed an unfortunate occurrence. I believe there may have been at least two legislators last night whose vehicles were at least gone through. I'm aware that in other sections of at least downtown proper, there are some young people who may be going through vehicles. I think it is very important that we report these to the local police because they're very, very concerned. So, Mr. Speaker, the word of caution is we do need to lock the vehicles when they're on the back parking lot. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to address the subject of House Bill 191 and the AIDS problem.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not my normal practice to address on a particular piece of legislation, but this is such an important issue, I think that it deserves special attention. There have been a number of statements recently made to various committees. The Senate has formed a special committee to deal with the AIDS problem. It's a special committee on AIDS prevention. Dr. John Middow, the state epidemiologist, addressed a joint hearing of that committee and the House Hess Committee to give us some startling facts. AIDS has spread wildly through Africa. In one country alone, Zaire, the former Belgian Congo, it is estimated that 50% of all children under the age of 2 have the virus. And not only the cost of care, but the toll that will be taken in lives will probably cause the collapse of large areas of that continent if we don't do something. In Alaska, through January of 1987, 31 Alaskans were confirmed to have AIDS. My staff informs me that the number now is 34. In America, in 1991, it is estimated that 270,000 people, a quarter of a million people, will develop AIDS. 179,000 in only 4 years will have died of this disease. More than 1.5 million Americans are believed now to be infected with the AIDS virus, and 1/2 may develop AIDS. Heterosexuals are increasingly becoming infected. It is also estimated that in the next 5 years or even longer, it is highly unlikely that a vaccine will be developed to treat AIDS. The National Research Council and the Institute of the Medicine of the National Academy of Sciences recommends that the federal government expends $1 billion per year for research and another $1 billion for disease prevention education. The Surgeon General has stated that education concerning AIDS must start at the lowest grade possible. The infection is a far more serious problem. For every AIDS case, it is estimated that 50 people or more are infected with the virus. And it is also recommended that we must increase screening for HIV, that's AIDS virus infection, and that we must increase the counseling to people who are infected, that we should implement the federal recommendations to provide education concerning AIDS in the schools in Alaska at our lowest possible grade level. We must anticipate the impact this disease, which is estimated to be more serious than the bubonic plague was in the Middle Ages. We must anticipate the impact and plan for that now. And we must finally ensure that there is confidentiality so that people who are in the high-risk groups go in for voluntary testing. The Hess Committee, I'm pleased to announce, has introduced a bill that will provide special funding for this purpose. And I hope that the body acts responsibly and quickly in dealing with the problem. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. on Friday.
10 a.m. Friday.